It's my pleasure to welcome you to the Clark Howard Show. Our mission is to serve you and empower you so you make better financial decisions in your life. I'm going to begin this episode by talking about one of my favorite things, travel deals. Then after I take your questions, I'm going to talk about one of my least favorite things, customer no service. That actually seems to be so often in life we say, oh, things are worse than they used to be. This is the customer no service we're getting. Okay, so I got an oddball one for you. Spirit Airlines is running a promotion right now called Status Match. And what it does is it's designed to get people who travel frequently to sample and use Spirit, because there's a segment of the travel marketplace that travels quite often and doesn't ever consider flying on Spirit, Frontier, Allegiant, Breeze, or Avelo, the five deep discounter airlines, although Breeze is kind of its own thing. But Spirit, with a straight face, is offering you the ability, if you are in a bunch of different hotel programs or airline programs, you have different levels of status, you get an array of privileges, including if you've got really nice status on a hotel chain, with a hotel chain or with an airline, for $99 for a year, you pay no baggage fees for a check bag or a carry-on. You got seat assignments, you got a free snack, a free drink. I mean, it's a deal. But then again, you're flying Spirit. And it's something that to me is worth spending the $99, because I travel about 30 weeks a year. I'm on an airplane. There are times that there'll be a deal on Spirit, and I have my micro carry-on. But it was funny because recently I was flying coast to coast and I was staying 5 days. And I kept trying because Spirit had the best fare in the market. But then once I added in the baggage charge, because it was coast to coast, I was going to pay for a seat assignment. It wasn't cost effective anymore. And so I went on a regular airline, whatever you call. And so the status match to me, there are enough times in my life where I go last minute where Spirit will be, in my opinion, worth it if I'm not having to pay all the fees. So if you want to know how to get there, just whatever search engine you use, just do Spirit Airlines status match. Like if you're gold or above with Marriott or the equivalent gold, I think gold with Hilton, you get the higher level status match and get all that stuff free. You get a smaller number of benefits if you're lower status, like with Delta, which is one of the largest airlines. If you're silver medallion, you only get the lower level match from Spirit. But if you're gold or platinum, or you're like Krista, where they carry you through the terminal on, what do you call those things, Krista? They carry people around?
I don't even know what those would be called.
Anyway, what is your status now? Because you're Ms. Delta 2023.
No, I am not. But I am platinum.
Platinum.
Because I have
so
a credit
silver,
card.
Silver, yeah. Gold, platinum. Diamond? Is
Diamond.
That, yeah, so you're way up.
And then there's some secret society called Delta 360. Yeah.
Yeah, the 360 people. Those are the ones they drive around
that
airports
is, yeah.
In Porsches.
Yeah.
Do you know that? They take them to they walk up those stairs right by the plane.
Man.
So they're taken from a parking lot that has security. They go through it. They're driven to the plane door, literally, and they don't have to deal with the rest of us normal earthlings. But one other thing is, I'm mentioning Spirit. So there's a new study that finds who's the cheapest to fly on if you do have to go the last minute. And they tested Spirit versus Southwest, United, American, and Delta. And Spirit was significantly cheaper. The next closest and cheap fare last minute travel was Southwest, then higher United and American that were right there, pretty much even. And Delta was by far the most expensive for a last minute ticket. I mean, hugely more expensive than even their full fare competitors, United and American. And Delta has said that their bookings are so strong, they're so positive about revenue, and they feel like they're running a better airline than American and United right now, which is probably true, that they're in a position to charge significantly more for those last-minute travelers than their direct competitors or anybody else. So it's your money. You can decide.
Okay, I've got some travel questions here. This is from Steve in Tennessee. Is Dollar Flight Club lifetime fee of $149 worth it?
So if you're not familiar with Dollar Flight Club, they're a smaller operator but a competitor with what used to be called Scott's Cheap Flights. It's now called Going. I still don't get that name. And there's...
So bitter.
I mean, Scott's such a neat guy, and you can identify with his name. And I just don't get the marketing reason to take Scott's name off of it. But anyway, not for me to decide. So the Dollar Flight Club offer is a massive savings, because for what these services do is they give you alerts on special fare deals, both in coach and then front of the plane, or also premium economy. So not just both, any fare category. When a deal pops up, you get an alert, and for a regular traveler, it can save you a lot of money. I don't understand what Dollar Flight Club's doing, because they're giving people lifetime access. And so I guess that's the lifetime of Dollar Flight Club. You got to understand, anytime somebody offers you a lifetime deal, that it means for as long as they're around, and they may be doing great. So if they are doing great, don't understand why they're offering something 90%+ off.
C in New Jersey says, we are hesitating on booking a vacation to Paris for October because of the protests. What does Clark recommend?
October in the world of civil discourse or
civil society
or France has such a history of street protests. I mean, it goes back to, what was the year of the French Revolution? 1789? Anyway, it's been part of their thing where they go out into the streets. It's episodic. And when was 1789?
1789 to 99. Yep, May 5th, 1789.
So October, I wouldn't fret at all. I mean, you're thinking of going to Paris in the summer, right?
My daughter's going from May to June, so I'm sure it'll still be going on.
But these protests there's been very sporadic violence, but for the most part, these have been energetic, but very peaceful protests. Americans can't understand these protests at all, because what the French are so up in arms about is there's a new law that retirement age is now 64 instead of 62, or 62 instead of 60, something like that. So I would not hesitate at all. October is a world away from what's been going on.
And then I've got a couple of questions about cruises. This one's from Dan in Alabama. He says, with your frugal nature in mind, I wonder if you could elaborate on your cruising preferences. Is there a line that you prefer? Are the drink and internet packages worth the money? And do you find it best to book interior cabins? Any tips would be appreciated. And then I'll read this
one
as well.
I had so many angles on it. Can I do them?
You can, but okay, let me read Rob's and then you can see if you want to address each of them.
You're the boss, so whatever you say.
You're the boss.
No, you're the boss.
The listener and viewer, they're the boss.
Right.
Does Clark have advice on ways to save money on a cruise? We are going to Alaska and Maine. It's our first one. Everything is so expensive. Any ideas for a great time without breaking the bank, since we already did that, buying the cruise?
Okay, so you've already booked the cruise, so that I can't give any recommendations on. Don't do the shore excursions offered by the cruise line. Do your own. If you like to drink alcohol, this is the week you don't drink, because I'm going to get to the drink package thing on the other question as well. The cruise lines charge so much money for alcohol. I mean, I am so lucky that drinking doesn't matter to me. It's not something I really do at all. Know that on cruise ships, many times there will be drink specials at certain times, almost like happy hours you'd have on land. And if you do like alcohol, that's when to do it. A lot of the things that people spend money on, you don't have to. So you really can, now that you paid your cruise fare, avoid a lot of additional expenses. So going to Dan with the additional expenses, the drink packages are not worth it unless you really like to sling back a lot of alcohol. I mean, you calculate how many drinks you'd have to drink per day to make the alcohol package work. I don't recommend them. On the other hand, if you are somebody who loves to drink a lot, then you can probably make the math work. I mean, you see it on any cruise ship. Whatever the first bar is to open on a cruise ship each morning, it's full. Whether it's 9 o'clock in the morning, 9:30, I mean, they're knocking back those drinks. Is that the expression, knocking back a drink?
It's one of them.
Whatever.
I mean, it might be more. Maybe if you buy the package, you feel like you have to drink more or something. I don't know. To get your money's worth, that's not the healthiest thing.
And by the way, there'll be things they'll have. They'll have events where you go to a loyalty program event or whatever, and they're serving free alcohol at those, and so you can get free drinks that way. Anyway, you can get the free drinks, which, again, means nothing to me. Internet package, a lot of people specifically don't buy internet on a ship because they want this to be time away. If you're having to keep working some while you're on a ship, you need to stay in contact with family or friends, that would be a good reason to buy the internet package.
You buy it, right? Because it's important to you.
Yeah, I do buy it. All right, now, Dan, on your question about interior cabins, I can't do that. I have to have a window. There's a blogger who only sells interior cabins. And if you search for her on YouTube, she'll point out all the pluses and minuses of booking interior cabins and really think through, would a week for you in an interior cabin be no big deal? Or would it feel like you were being sentenced to jail for a week? And so that's one I can't really tell you other than, yes, the interior cabins are day in, day out going to be by far the cheapest way to be on a cruise.
What about excursions? I have a feeling that...
Well, I did mention excursions
for
earlier with Alaska with Rob.
Okay, good.
That the excursions, the cruise lines mark them up so much that I don't buy the excursions from the cruise lines.
You buy them from outside companies?
I buy them outside. So you can, if you go, there are all these cruise sites like Cruise Critic and various flavors like that, where you can learn about shore excursions. You can read reviews of independent shore excursions. Lots of sites for that. People go on Caribbean cruises. There are a bunch of sites that just talk about alternative excursions and sell them to people looking to beat the cost from the cruise line. Usually it's half price going third party, but a lot of ports I've been to enough, I don't even need an excursion. I do my own thing, I'm just fine.
And the danger with that, though, is that you're not guaranteed, like if you don't get back in time, something happens, the ship could leave you.
Sails off without you. I have seen it happen.
And they don't do that if it's their own excursion.
Right. So you don't want to put it too close. That once happened to me with two of my three children were on a cruise with me, and the port was Belize, and we did this thing called cave tubing with the bats, which apparently is not the safest public health thing to do. And we were late getting back to the ship. And the only reason the ship didn't leave without the 24 of us on that excursion is that a cruise line excursion was an hour later than us getting back. Otherwise, I would have been able to talk about that in full detail about my extra time in Belize that thank goodness didn't happen.
Bonus.
Yes. Coming up ahead, customer no service. It is a plague in the United States. And for many reasons, it's actually getting worse right now. How do you deal with customer no service from an organization? I'm going to give you suggestions.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Most of you listening right now are probably multitasking. Yep, while you're listening, you're probably also driving, cleaning, exercising, or maybe even grocery shopping. But if you're not some kind of moving vehicle, there's something else you can be doing right now: getting an auto quote from Progressive Insurance. It's easy, and you could save money by doing it right from your phone. Drivers who save by switching to Progressive save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Discounts for having multiple vehicles on your policy, being a homeowner, and more. So, just like your favorite podcast, Progressive will be with you 24/7, 365 days a year, so you're protected no matter what. Multitask right now. Quote your car insurance at progressive.com to join over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Customer no service is a plague, and according to the American Customer Satisfaction Index, it's actually getting worse. They found the largest decline in customer service that consumers are experiencing in 1 year, the worst decline in their entire history. I've loved the American Customer Satisfaction Index, which first was Department of University of Michigan, now an independent organization. It's been around nearly 30 years, and they've seen this really ugly downward trend. Wall Street Journal reports that 3/4 of Americans have experienced a problem in the last year, a customer no service problem. Give you a comparison, a generation ago, 1/3 of people in a year would say they had a customer no service problem. And it's clear that companies don't care. There's this attitude that they call next, that rather than trying to fix a problem for somebody else, they're like, okay, yeah, so let them go away. Next, there's always another sucker to come along that will do business with a company that offers customer no service. So what do you do about it? Now it's become so the thing to post on social media that works so effectively, even as recently as 3 or 4 years ago, companies are becoming numb to that because, and consumers are too, that just complaining about somebody on social media, there was a time that companies had these social media task forces that were trying to monitor their corporate image, and people would get help they didn't get before. And there was a lot of DMing going on, that you would post something and then they'd direct message you and say, hey, let us see if we could help you. Sorry, we haven't so far. And now companies, in many cases, are just ignoring those. So strategies that I recommend when you're dealing with customer no service is to use any and every tactic other than writing a complaint that's the length of a short story, being humorless, or expressing anger in your post. And never, never, not ever say, I'm never going to do business with you again. So you say that, what incentive do they have to do anything for you if you said, I'm done with you, I'm never buying from you, I'm never flying you again, I'm never whatever it is again? So you want to be brief. You want to be clear and concise with what the problem is, clear and concise what you're seeking. Be reasonable with what you're seeking. And you do this every possible way when you've been blown off by a company. I mentioned the Better Business Bureau as a tool. And whenever I mention it, we'll hear from people say, I filed a Better Business Bureau complaint. It didn't do anything. That's not the point. You're playing baseball here. Those of you who are baseball fans, who is a great hitter? Somebody who hits 300, meaning they get a hit 30% of the time that they're at the plate. That's what you're trying to do with various tools, like posting on social media, filing a Better Business Bureau complaint. Anytime it's a bank or credit card company, always file a complaint at consumerfinance.gov. Their help rate is probably much higher because you got the teeth of the federal government behind you, which is why the banks and credit card companies hate the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau so much, because they're making banks behave that otherwise don't care and don't do the right thing. Don't complain to a CEO of a company. I recently had a problem with an airline. I went on their website and looked about us and saw all the smiling pictures of their corporate executive team. I went down three levels. Then I figured out the email address, which took some work, figured out the email address of a third level down person, sent an email, thought it didn't work at all. 3 weeks later, I got a response and my problem was solved that had been going on for 4 months. If you do use social media, you must employ humor. Humor is key. The first poster child of how humor solves a problem where a problem is not solved otherwise, years and years, and I don't even know how many years ago United Breaks Guitars was. Canadian musician, United broke a musical instrument guitar they had to use, and United said, ha! Life's tough. We don't care about you. But then a very humorous video that caught on that became viral ended up finally getting United to behave. And so any and all tactics are what you have to employ. Should you have to do all this stuff? No. Why has it gotten so much worse over a generation? Because the nature of American business has changed so much. Size has made companies not care. As they get larger, they don't care. And something that's demonstrated again and again and again is people in the executive areas of companies have no clue what's actually going on in their organizations because they live in a cocoon. They do not have contact with customers. They are clueless. You got to give them a clue. Krista?
Amelia in Georgia says, my daughter's housemate sends via Venmo $1,000 each month for their portion of the rent. My daughter then makes a Zelle payment to the landlord for the full $2,000 rent owed each month. Will my daughter now get a 1099 for this Venmo money paid to her for the purpose of paying rent?
Even if she does, and that the requirements all surrounding payments that people receive on Cash App, Venmo, or Zelle, and I'm going to ignore that. Big bad Zelle is in this. You don't want to use Zelle. Anyway, the requirement that they send these has been suspended. The feds are trying to figure out some other way to figure out who's not reporting income. We'll see how that eventually, if ever, comes back. But even if it does, all you have to do if you get a 1099 like that is you report it and then you back out that as income with an explanation that this was a roommate paying their share of the rent, and you're good. That's so easy to prove that there's no concern for your daughter at all.
Karen in Georgia says, my family has health insurance through my husband's employer. In January, we received a letter from the Pharmacy Benefits Administrator, Caremark, saying that we had to use CVS Pharmacy or their mail-in pharmacy, or we would have to pay full price for our prescriptions at any other pharmacy. Is this even legal? CVS prescriptions are more expensive. Is there anything I can do?
So pharmacy benefits managers are a curse on the American people. And they are. And there's so much dirty dealing and kickbacks and all kinds of things that are costing the American people a fortune, costing the federal government a fortune with the portion of, and government of all levels with the portion of health care they pay for in the United States. By the way, it's more than half of all health care now in the United States. And CVS is trying to build this fortress and enforce behavior. No, this should not be legal. It is illegal restraint of trade, in my opinion. And CVS, what they cannot provide in customer service, speaking of a customer no service organization, they're trying to force through their relationship with employers and require people who use their PBM, Caremark, to have to fill their prescriptions at CVS. Look, the employees don't even want to work at CVS. Why should you have to use them to get your drugs?
So they own Caremark, right?
They own Caremark. Yeah, CVS, Caremark, Aetna, they're all one very unhappy family. They may be happy together. They're just an unhappy family for us. So what can you do? A lot of your scripts, Karen, if they are generics, are cheaper filling market price than they are through the plan you have through work. And so you should always comparison shop, use GoodRx or one of their competitors. If you are a warehouse club member, you'll find that regularly, not 100% of the time, but most of the time, unless they zero out the cost of generics for you under your Caremark CVS plan, you'll find that what you would pay as a cash payer will be cheaper at the warehouse clubs than using the supposed benefits for pharmacy available through the employer.
And CostPlusDrugs.com too.
Oh, yeah, right? Which is Mark Cuban's. They now call it Mark Cuban's CostPlusDrugs. And there is a whole bunch of companies now selling prescriptions not involving insurance or anything like that, that routinely are much cheaper for 80% of the drugs out there than using these kickback-friendly pharmacy benefits managers that are a real problem in medical care and for us in the United States.
A curse.
They are a curse.
Steve in Missouri says, Clark, you work so hard for your listeners and give impeccable advice. I want to ask you a fun question for a change. If you could invite any three people, living or dead, to a Costco $1.50 hot dog and soda dinner party, who would they be and why?
Wow. Wow. Well, I know one thinking about this. Do I have to do famous people? Did it say famous people?
No, just any three people.
So this is going to be weird. Why don't I do it both ways? I can do it both ways.
Okay.
One, I would love to meet both of my deceased grandfathers. I never knew them. It'd be neat to meet people I heard about I never knew. And my dad died when I was pretty young, and it'd be neat if he could come back.
See all the Habitat homes you built too. Remember you had that.
Oh man, did we have conversations about housing? That's a story for another day. In short, my father started a homeless shelter for couples back in 1983 after six people froze to death in a real cold snap. And he wanted to do something. That shelter still is operating 40 years later.
The apple doesn't fall far.
So famous people. I know it would be Margaret Thatcher. It would be Winston Churchill, because I'm fascinated with what the two of them did for Britain. Where's today's Maggie Thatcher, by the way? They need it really badly. Third person? Oh, it would be Dr. King.
I had a feeling you'd say him for sure.
Those would be the three. And $1.50 hot dog and drink is like a Costco signature. It's a Kirkland signature hot dog now, mm-hmm. by the way. Who knows how many tens of millions or hundreds of millions of dollars Costco loses every year as a loss leader on that hot dog and drink. I just had it the other day when I was at the Costco Tire Center. So I got my tires at discount, and my lunch was with tax $1.59.
Nice.
Gosh, would that be a fun? I know it's so outside of our bailiwick, but it'd be fun if people got to answer that question and see their answers.
We'll do some posts on Facebook and Instagram and ask people for their answers. And in our community at clark.com/community.
I think that would be really neat. And nobody, promise me, you're not going to get in political arguments with people based on
what you post. Yeah, you can also answer it, respond to this YouTube video if you're watching on YouTube.
Okay.
Put a comment in there.
So I hope, other than who I would want to have my $1.50 hot dog and drink with, you heard something today that you can use in your life or share with a friend today, and know that we're here and we do this to serve you each and every day. That's what this is about, is we all learn together, we all grow together, and we can be better people together. And speaking of that, one thing I ask of you, you mentioned Habitat, whatever way you can, at a time that people say they're not happy with America's direction, you're the one that can make a difference. One person at a time, one volunteer activity at a time, in your neighborhood, your community, your city, your state, your country, do something to make a difference. Be somebody who makes life better for our country and the individuals who live in it. Have a great day.